week, and I looked this over, my first response to this was to title this sermon, Foolish Obedience. Because I watched as God's people were responding to the reading of God's Word, and the way that they responded would have seemed foolish to the world. But in the way that they were responding was true, pleasing worship to God. Worship has been defined as an appropriate response to God's self-revelation. An appropriate response to God's self-revelation is worship. Now that brings up two questions. First of all, how does God reveal Himself? And second of all, what is a proper response? Well, the Bible teaches us that God reveals Himself in two ways. First of all, He reveals Himself through what's known as general revelation. We read about it in Psalm 19. It gives us this understanding of what general revelation is. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. They preach to us. They give us the knowledge of the greatness of the Creator God. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth and their words to the end of the world. Paul spoke about this in Romans, about general revelation. He talked about the way that God has revealed Himself to all humanity. In Romans chapter 1, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. In other words, what Paul was saying is God has revealed Himself generally to all humanity through creation, so that when we stand before the Almighty, we cannot say, God, You never told me, You never revealed Yourself, and I didn't know. Stupidity will not be an excuse when we stand there on that day. He reveals Himself through general revelation to all human beings. Secondly, through special revelation. Special revelation comes to us in a special way, maybe through dreams or visions, through a word of prophecy by someone, maybe through reading God's Word. God speaks to us and we hear His whisper in our ear to do something specific. In my case, it was through dreams and visions to know the special revelation of what God wanted me to do. Now, we can get both of these, general revelation and special revelation, in God's Word. That's why it's so important to read the Bible, to read God's Word. Because it gives us general revelation and it gives us special revelation. In here, God reveals who He is, what He has done, His greatness, and He reveals His will and His instructions for you and I. Sometimes we don't like what they are, but He still revealed them to us. He has revealed them all for our good. Now, to the Jews of Nehemiah's time, the way God revealed Himself to His people was in their success. They knew they were doing what was pleasing to God when God prospered them. In this case of Nehemiah, they had turned back to God, and through Nehemiah they went back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the wall. And God was pleased. They were successful. All their enemies were defeated. The wall was rebuilt in 52 days. Praise the Lord for revealing His power and His pleasure with us. That's the way it worked in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God has revealed Himself specially to us through Jesus Christ. In any case, God's revelation of Himself deserves our attention. It deserves a response. And in fact, God commands that we respond to the fact that He's revealed Himself to us. We can't just sit idle. We have to respond. So we say, what is a proper response? And the answer is to worship God. Well, that's a broad term, to worship God. How do we worship God? And I'm not talking about in terms of, is it praise the Lord, and all the praise and worship songs? Is it, you know, just all, through all the liturgy of going through the motions on Sunday morning. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about responding to God's self-revelation and His saving grace. Because He saves us and forgives us, we respond accordingly, or do we? Do we really respond according to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ? What is a proper response? We're going to see as the people respond to God's Word. As we remember, it was the seventh month. The people came and they assembled before the water gate, and they told Ezra to bring out the book of the law of Moses. And he read it. He read it for 6 hours on the first day of the seventh month. It was the Jewish New Year, the civil year, a new beginning, a new people, and a faithful God leading them. And as they read the law, they had people out in the congregation, remember, that day, interpreting what was being said, because some of the people did not speak Hebrew. And in that way, they made it clear and they gave meaning to it so that the people could understand what was being read. And many of the people were weeping because they were convicted that they had broken God's law. But the leader said, don't weep and mourn. This is a day of celebration. God has brought us to a new place. He has saved us, even though He could have destroyed us. That proves God's love toward us. That remind you of anything? That proves God's love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, God saved us. And there they stood now celebrating with an overwhelming sense of joy because they understood the words that had been made known to them. On the second day, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra the scribe to give attention to the words of the law. They came back the second day to say, read it again. We want to hear it. We want to know what it says. We don't want any doubts about what we're supposed to do. So they gathered around Ezra the scribe to give attention to the words of the Lord and the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this throughout the land and in Jerusalem. They were to go into the hill country, bring back branches and branches from myrtles, palms, and shade trees, and make booths as it is written. In other words, God had commanded that they do this. You find out about this back in Leviticus chapter 23. This was called the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. And in this way, on a certain day of the seventh month, they were to celebrate this feast. They were to present offerings and sacrifices to the Lord. For 7 days, they were to rejoice, so that their descendants would know that God had the Israelites live in booths when He brought them out of Egypt. In other words, what this was an annual festival for 7 days of remembrance. Remembering what God had done when the people were brought out of Egypt and had to live in these booths throughout those many years of wanderings, reminding them that God had provided everything they needed on that journey. So what they do? They engaged in foolish obedience? No. They engaged in faithful obedience, which seemed foolish to the neighbors across the street or down the block. But the people went out and they brought back branches and they built themselves booths on their roofs, in their courtyards, in the court of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the square by the gate of Ephraim. They built the booths and they lived in them. From the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, till that very day, they had not celebrated it in this way. And they celebrated building these booths. Would have seemed silly, wouldn't it, to the average person? But they did it in faithful obedience, that no matter what God's word said, no matter how foolish it might have seemed, they were to do this. And day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the feast for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly, and they were to rest on the eighth day. Now, we must understand this morning that this response was a result of joy brought to them because they knew God had saved them. This was a response to God's revelation of saving them, knowing now that God loved them. In response, in their worship, they were to build booths. It was clearly as a result of their salvation. That's exactly what Nehemiah is about. Nehemiah is all about God's saving grace. That's why it's in the Bible. Because we see, as we saw in Joshua and other books, that when they were obedient to God, when they listened to God, when they turned back to God, God blessed them. He protected them, and He provided for them. And there it was. This is what God had done. First they got together, they read from the law, and the people wept. There was an emotional response, an emotional response. But it has to go beyond that. Because what happens when the emotion dies down? And I've been to these big Christian concerts and these Christian conferences with speakers from all over the world. And everybody's standing, jumping in the air, dancing, and their arms are in the air, and they're sweating. And you get all pumped up. And praise and worship to God. Then you come back home and you've got to go to work Monday morning. Oh my gosh. There goes the emotion. You see, emotion dies down. There needed to be something more in their life, something more concrete. A more physical response. A more lasting response. So what did they do? They obeyed the word of the Lord physically. No matter how silly it seemed, they did exactly what God had asked them to do. Because God had saved them, they put their faith in action. Because God had saved them. You know, today in our day and age, there's a different concept of salvation. Many think today that salvation is a thing to be achieved. Oh, I got saved. Went down to the church the other day, went forward, and I got saved. Now I'm good to go until Jesus comes back. It's not a thing to be achieved. Nobody has ever achieved salvation. Some people think it's a reward for being good. Let me ask you something. If it's a reward for being good, what's the standard that you're good by? It can't be the person down the street that's a drunk, or the person up the road who might be in an adulterous relationship. That's not our standard. Our standard is Jesus Christ. And when we look at Jesus, we're all sinners. The Bible tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. So it's not a reward for being good. Some think that we deserve it. That we deserve salvation. And then others think that it's our right. I want to tell you something. That kind of thinking, that it's our right, that God loves us, and salvation is a right. And the Bible says to those who believed, to those who received Christ, God gave the right to become children of God. But it's not our right that God did that for us. In the Declaration of Independence, it says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There's nothing at all about salvation and eternal life. It's not our right. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift from God. That God says, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to pour this out on you. And to the people in Nehemiah's time, God's revelation was His protection and blessing on Israel. Their salvation meant that they were a new people with a new start and a faithful God. And that's what salvation is when we come to Jesus Christ. We're a new people with a new start with God's protection and blessing. And they resolved to follow God's laws obediently as an appropriate response to God's saving grace. They didn't just stand there with their arms in the air. They said, what's it say? What's it say? What are we supposed to do next? They were excited about doing what God commanded them to do. And they saw that they were to have a festival. They saw that they were to have a festival. And their salvation led to celebration. Their salvation led to obedience and observance. As they read the law, they responded. And they did exactly what we're taught in Bible 101 in seminaries and Bible colleges. They observed what the Word said. They interpreted it, what the words meant for them. They observed that God commanded they do this. They interpreted that we're supposed to do this. They correlated it with the past and saw that those who didn't obey God ended up in captivity. And they said, we're going to obey this. And lastly, they applied it to their life. That's the key, is the application. Without applying this, it's just a book. It's just a book of pages until we start to apply it to life, and then it becomes life. It becomes our worship. When we start listening, when we start obeying, when we start living this, that's appropriate response to God's saving grace. It results in a proper response to God's self-revelation in Jesus Christ. If we are thankful for what God has done for us, it has to go farther than just saying, thanks God, and going about our way. We've got to get in motion. We've got to start celebrating. And number one, we gather as the people did, as one congregation, don't we? Sunday mornings. There is no better way to start this in motion, to engage our faith, than to come to church on Sunday morning. We read the law, we read God's word, we interpret what it says for us, we correlate it with our past, and find out when I lived a certain way, I can see now that God wasn't blessing me. And most importantly, hopefully, we go out the door and apply it to life. Because God's laws and His Word is more than just being good little boys and girls. It's our worship pleasing to God. And as Paul said in Romans, it's our presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. It's faithfully obeying God as our appropriate response to God's saving grace. And we say, how can I do that physically? How can I do that tomorrow in my life? Well, that's something that you have to listen for God to tell you. But the Ten Commandments is a great way to start. The laws are there. You just have to read them. Some of them are a little hard to understand. But they're there, and God will reveal them to you. As you go, sometimes you have to go like Abraham did. He didn't see the end result. He just went in faith because God had promised him blessing in the end. And sometimes that's the way we need to go. God will let you know whether you're going the right way or not. He'll let you know. That's my story. That's God's story. That's Nehemiah's story. He's a saving God. And He desires and commands an appropriate response to a saving grace. And I pray this week that in the living out of our lives, what comes out of our mouths, out of our hands, out of our bodies, is our faithful obedience to God's Word. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, You are an awesome God to reveal Your Word to us and Your own self. Sometimes You're hard to understand, but if we just come to You in humility, asking for understanding, You will give it to us. You will provide all of our needs. You always have. And You will guide our way. You always have. I pray, Lord, that physically we open the pages and the covers of our Bibles this week, that we might apply our faithfulness and our faith and Your Word to our lives. In Christ's name, amen.